You're listening to Hump Day News and Rumors on Mousecapades Radio.
Get ready for something majestic.
The following is an original production of the Mousecapades Radio Network.
Now, from the Mousecapades Studios, here are your hosts.
Happy Hump Day, Mousecapades listeners. It's Vicki, and I'm here with Stephanie, Matt, and Christy. We hope that you're all staying safe, happy, and healthy. This is episode 910, and you're listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
All of us in the podcast are travel agents. If you're looking to book a trip, we'd be glad to help. You can text Vicki, Matt, Chrissy, or myself, Stephanie, at 636-373-4497, and we would be happy to get with you to design a magical vacation. A small refundable deposit of $200 will hold your Disney resort and ticket package, or we can quote a destination of your choice, so contact one of us today.
So we all know that Tim Allen has had a relationship with Disney and ABC for years. It started with Home Improvement, and then Buzz Lightyear was his Disney Pixar thing, and then Santa Claus, and then Last Man Standing. He's given me a lot to love about him, and the ability to make me laugh is I just can watch his shows over and over. My kids, I think, funny because Home Improvement was before they were born, and they like to go back and watch like the series old shows. But the great news is for Tim Allen fans is they just announced that ABC ordered a comedy pilot and Tim Allen's going to be a part of it. It's going to be called Shifting Gears, and it revolves around Matt, his character, Tim Allen's character. He's a stubborn, widowed owner of a classic car restoration shop. Imagine that. And when Matt's estranged daughter and her teenage kids move into his house, the real restoration begins. Mike and Julie Scully will co-write the script and executive produce the pilot alongside of Allen and Last Man Standing's Marty Adelson, Becky Clements, Richard Baker, and Rick Messina. I'm hoping that this sitcom will be as popular as Home Improvement and Last Man Standing. Those are classic.
Yeah, because they're good. Yeah, anything with Tim Allen. I love Tim Allen. He's gotten a lot of grief just for standing up for what he believes in, and I'm glad they're bringing him back.
Yep.
Yay, Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this week, guest notice, the right banner was missing at the Storybook Circus entrance. Before it was taken down, the banner was an exact copy of the one on the left, and it reads, "Come one, come all, welcome to the Storybook Circus entrance." The banner was blown down during a very windy day in late February, and it appears that crew members simply just took it down after the wind did most of the work, and potentially they were going to repair any damage caused, but the banner being down could actually be that now instead they're going to go ahead and just replace it with signage for the upcoming Smell Offense on Parade. It's an activity coming to the Dumbo, the Flying Elephant attraction area, sponsored by Scentsy, the home fragrance of Walt Disney World. Smell Offense on Parade will be a family-friendly search and sniff adventure that will add a map and sticker sheet scavenger hunt where guests are going to search for smell-o-phant statues around the area and note their different scents. This is similar to the scavenger hunts found at Epcot, and our own Gina sells Scentsy. So if you are a fan and need a rep, then you can contact her.
Yep. Scentsy is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how hygienic the whole search and sniff feels.
I was wondering that same thing. Like, ooh, COVID, really?
This sounds very snotty to me. I'm not interested in that.
Maybe it's more like a wafting through, like it's very, you know, like the popcorn. You don't have to get too up close to smell that popcorn.
Yes.
But when I first saw that, I was like, do you have to put your nose on something and actually smell it? Like, you know, because when you go to sniff a flower, a lot of times people get their nose all up in it.
Right.
Get pollen on their nose.
They mentioned this, the map and the stickers. So maybe the stickers are scented, like you're matching up a scented sticker.
That would be cool.
The Scentsy products are awesome. Like those, some of those smells are like spot on.
Right.
The pop one, like, oh, that's the best.
Maybe they just have those kind of like the wax melts and stuff, like all just in whatever. So it's just kind of wafting out. I have no idea, but I'm interested to see. But I agree that that was my first thought is, I don't know if I want my kids going around smelling stuff, putting their nose on things.
That was a bunch of other strange kids.
Right.
Speaking of scents and popcorn, do you remember that the Main Street Confectionery has the delicious make-your-own popcorn creations? In February, they had a Valentine version. Well, now they have a spring mix version, and it sounds amazing. I saw a video on Instagram, and it looks amazing. Caramel popcorn with M&M's milk chocolate candies, crushed vanilla cookies, mini marshmallows, and white and yellow chocolatey drizzle. This is a limited time offering spring popcorn mix themed for springtime. The M&Ms are pastel blue, pink, and green, and the chocolate drizzle is yellow. It certainly has an Easter feel to it. Guests found this to be a fairly tame popcorn mix compared to the other options you can get at the confectionery. There are no out there flavors in this mix, though not as fresh as what you can find at Caramel Kusch over in the Germany Pavilion in Epcot. The caramel popcorn here was fresh with the right amount of crunch. All of the flavors pair well together, and guests enjoyed how the white chocolate drizzle helped to glue the elements together by making small bunches. By far, the standout of the mix for guests was the crushed vanilla cookie. The extra vanilla flavor made the popcorn feel more like a dessert, which they really enjoyed, and the texture made it different from other mixes. If this doesn't appeal to you, you can always create your own. Vicky's family has enjoyed several different mixtures, but her favorite is buttered popcorn with chocolate drizzle, M&M regular peanut, M&M's peanut M&M's, and peanut butter M&M's.
It's very healthy for you. They're really good, though. They sell those, like, I don't know if you know that. I got this as a mix, I don't even know, 2 years ago, and they sell those peanuts, are those M&M's in a bag now, regular peanut and peanut butter.
Yes.
So good. Not good for me, but so good.
And you put it on regular buttered popcorn.
Yep.
Yum.
At Sam's, you can buy a mix. They call them popcorn clusters. It's popcorn with milk chocolate, caramel, and M&M's.
Yum. Sounds so healthy.
Right. So delicious. But I watched an Instagram video of somebody buying the popcorn at the spring mix popcorn. The only thing is they show them drizzling that yellow chocolate drizzle, and it looks like it comes out of a mustard dispenser. I'm like, oh, that looks so weird. But I mean, I know it's white chocolate, yellow, white chocolate, but it looked weird at first. But it looks so good. It's so springy, and Easter is my favorite holiday. So if I were there, I would totally try it.
We're going to try it. We have a little while to go, though.
So exciting.
All right. The live action remakes that were a novelty when Disney first started them. But after Beauty and the Beast in 2017, something happened. Then that started to tank the Disney movies, or a few other things, maybe. It doesn't mean the movies were awful. Some of them were. But Disney strayed too far from the original formula that Disney was known for. The original live-action movies worked so well because they stuck to a certain formula that still kept the Disney identity that could link them back to the studios. Consider Maleficent in 2014, Cinderella 2015, and The Jungle Book 2016. All of them made the studio millions before the movie, like Beauty and the Beast in 2017, pushed to the billion-dollar mark at the worldwide box office. They all kept to the same beats their originals followed, but they all utilized the same corresponding points to stand out. They utilized different character perspectives, changing narratives, while still sticking to the Disney's preset storylines that they did with something that Disney kept Disney's identity while still doing something new. Rumor has it that Mr. Iger may be pulling the plug on future live-action films in order to try and get things back on track. Please do. If this is true, we'll all be very happy, and you all know, to see Disney going back to the foundation that Disney was built on. Yeah, I'm not, as we all know, a fan of all of the live remakes. And if they want to go back to the drawing book, good with me, because the drawing book always seemed to do well.
Mm-hmm. Well, their live action person resigned this week, too.
Oh, awesome. Heck yeah.
So That seems like a step in the right direction to me. This was not a mistake that you got this article, because I know how passionate you are about these live action movies. I was like, he needs to talk about this.
So you don't like Beauty and the Beast or Cinderella, either of those?
I haven't watched any live action movie. Yeah. Maleficent. I did see Maleficent. And that was good. I liked their perspective. I liked their take on it.
It's so dark.
Yeah, but it's like, she's not really bad. She's just dark.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
My kids loved Jungle Book.
That's good.
And the Lion King one. We all liked Cinderella.
I loved Cinderella.
Aladdin.
I've seen Aladdin. That's the only one I've seen.
You haven't seen Beauty and the Beast? Oh, wow.
Really good one.
I really, really love that.
I'm kind of team no live action. I don't know why. I just...
Did you like the Aladdin one, though?
I did enjoy the Aladdin one. My girlfriend kind of forced me to watch it. She's like, if I'm going to do your nails, you're going to sit here and watch this with me.
I think you'd like Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast, too.
I do, too.
I get that you're like, meh, I'd rather them do new stuff. And I get that. Yeah, I would, too. But they did a really good job on Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast. Give them a chance. Both of you. Just try it.
You know, anytime I watch, I should say anytime, when I have seen like clips and I feel like I'm watching an impersonation of a movie with humans.
Right. And I think that's it, because I watched the animated so much.
Right.
Like, we wore VHS copies of these movies out. Like, we would wear them out until they warped. My mom would go crazy because they'd go back in the vault. She's like, where am I going to find copies of these? That I feel that, like, when I watched this Aladdin, I was not watching the real thing. Well, I mean, Will Smith was amazing in it. And they were all good. And it was a beautiful production, but I felt like I wasn't watching the real thing.
Yeah, he wasn't the genie. He wasn't genie.
Right. Robin Williams is the genie.
Yes. Well, and the thing that I loved about him, and I had to eat my words on this, because that movie, the live action Aladdin, had been advertised like, I don't know, 2018 or something. And Nick and I were automatically just poo-pooed it, which was bad because I had to eat my words, because it was very well done. And I appreciated that Will Smith said, I am not Robin Williams. I am not going to try to be Robin Williams. I'm just going to create my own thing. So he was a new kind of genie,
right?
Which was good.
Right. Still wasn't genie.
Hopefully we're going to get back to these original movies that we all rushed to the movie theater to see, because I haven't been in the movie theater in so long.
Yeah.
Well, I have the first Say It Isn't So. Say it ain't so, say it ain't so. So while Walt Disney created the Disneyland Park for families to have a place to come and make memories for years to come, in the past few years, we found that many guests travel by themselves to the parks for an alone Disney trip. It's become a huge deal. We know that. And even though it's a little awkward, or it was for me at first, it's fun to see the different things that you can do. You have a little freer atmosphere because you're not deciding for everybody. You're just deciding for you. And so it's just a new adventure. So some of the rides and attractions have single rider lines, which you guys all know. And they say groups are allowed to go in those single rider lines as long as they realize they're not going to be able to ride together when they get to the front. I mean, we've done stories on that before where the mom tried to do that in Disneyland. Well, recently this lady was standing in the single rider line and she noticed a guest come up to a cast member to put her finger up that she had one, and the cast member asked, or, you know, like, tells her to go to the last car on the roller coaster. So the single rider lady, she is told to go and sit with that lady. Well, she gets back there. And if you've seen this lady, she was on TikTok. I didn't realize that till after I was compiling this information. But she got back there and started to climb in. And the lady's like, no, you are not riding this ride with me. And she said, I waited in the standby line so I could be here by myself. Well, there was a cast member nearby, not the one that had seated, but a different one, and said, that's not how it works. Whether you're one in the standby line or one in the single rider line, we're still going to put other people with you. And she got all huffy, grabbed her stuff, pushed past the single rider lady and left after she waited in the line to ride because she was mad that she was going to have to ride the ride with somebody else.
So she waited in that whole line?
Yes.
And because they were going to put a stranger with her, she left?
Yeah.
That is so dumb.
She's the titan of entitlement. That's...
Wow.
Hey.
Yeah, the lady said she like took her sunglasses down, kind of like a teacher looking down over her glasses with you. And she's like, no, you're not getting in here.
Whoa.
Like, okay, I'm just trying to, you know, play both sides of like, okay, maybe this lady went in the longer line thinking that's how it worked because she did not want to ride. I get that. The way she went about it is 100% not okay. Like when that person came back there, she could have easily said, I'm really sorry. I went in the other line because I thought that would allow me to ride by myself. I don't like riding with anybody and I really need my space. It makes me feel very uncomfortable or whatever her reason is.
Could have told the cast member that.
Yes, she could have asked kindly.
They might have been a little more accommodating.
But to just throw a fit and then get off the ride after you just waited in the standby line, like what in the world is wrong with people?
And I guarantee you, she waited in the standby line with other guests standing next to her.
Right, exactly.
Like, if you need space, don't be going to a park with 100,000 people in it.
Right.
Right.
Oh, I need to ride by myself. Sorry.
They can make accommodations for that.
Right, right, right.
You know, that just drives me nuts. That's just pure entitlement. Ooh.
Interesting.
To say it ain't so, it's like they jack with my blood pressure. Some of them, I'm like, you know, on ones I'm listening to on like the other week shows, I just can't believe some of the stuff. I'm just like yelling at the radio.
Yep. Ugh.
So a first of its kind projection mapped topiary of Dante from Coco has made its debut at Epcot for the 2024 Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. This week, found in a flower bed near the Mexico Pavilion, the projection mapped topiary of Dante joins Miguel in their flower and garden debut. That spirit guide is a colorful topiary with blends of blues, pinks, oranges, greens, and yellows. And by night, the topiary is a projection mapped with vivid, almost neon versions of the same colors, giving it a more dynamic appearance when the sun goes down. This projection map debuted on March 6th. This is the first time projection mapping effects have been used on the flower and garden topiaries. The concept was imagined by Walt Disney Imagineer Josh Harrison, who is a senior illusion integrator, and Brittany Smith, who's a production designer for senior specialty design. Earlier in the week, the team discussed how their ideas became a reality. Projection mapping is a commonly used technology throughout the Disney parks, in which regular objects like buildings or topiaries are turned into services for displaying video projections. Recent examples include Muppets Vision 3D at Disney's Hollywood Studios and Space Mountain in Disneyland Park. If you haven't seen it yet, you can Google it or you can go to the Disney Parks website to see this creative beauty of a topiary.
Yeah, Brad's cousin's wife is there this week. And she took a picture with it. And I went and looked this up specifically. And it's very cool.
So go to the Mexico Pavilion and make sure that you're looking both at day and at night. Because it almost sounds like it'd be more exciting to see at night.
Yeah.
She had her picture with both.
Which one did you think was?
I liked the nighttime one. Because what a cool idea. And that to me makes it feel like it's more Disney. Because that's an Imagineering kind of thing that Disney would come up with.
Yeah. Creativity.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so. Reddit fans back up a grandma. Say it ain't so, say it ain't so. Apparently, a son and daughter-in-law were invited to a wedding in Mexico, and they were going to be gone for almost a week. They had asked the husband's mother to watch their 4 and 5-year-olds while they went on the trip. The mother/grandmother told them she wasn't sure she had been asked to watch their grandkids very much, but she had agreed. While the parents were away, one of the children was invited to a birthday party at Epcot.
What?
I know. How cool is that?
The grandma didn't call to bother the parents. The grandma drove 2 hours and drove the children to Disney World for the party. When the parents returned from their trip to Mexico, they were furious that the grandma had taken their children to Disney World for the first time without them. The daughter-in-law cried and called her mother-in-law entitled. The son screamed at his mother and told her that she owed his wife an apology. But the grandmother felt like she was in charge of the grandchildren and didn't owe anyone an apology. The son told his mother to post the story on Reddit and see what the people had to say. Well, that backfired because the Reddit followers sided with the grandma that was willing to watch their grandchildren so that her son and daughter-in-law could go to Mexico. Bottom line is, don't abuse someone that helps you out when you need it. That's a crazy story.
If my mom did that, I wouldn't talk to her anymore.
Seriously?
100%.
I would be upset too.
You're not in charge of my children. You're in the care. You're taking care of my children. You're not making any decisions for them that impact their life. Is she going to take them and get them, take them to the synagogue and have them baptized? Or if not baptized, but are they going to, you know, go put on a yarmulke? You know, what kind of decisions are you going to make for my children? You're not going to, oh my God, this like, I got to calm down. This stuff makes me insane.
I'm surprised that so many people sided with the grandma because this,
I don't know. I'd be like, they were invited to a birthday party. I took them to the birthday party.
No way.
That's right. Can you imagine Lucy coming home and saying to your mom, Grandma, Grandma, I got invited to Johnny's birthday party and it's at Epcot. Can we go?
But I would have wanted my mom to tell me like, hey, I don't think Lucy's been to Disney for the first, like, that's an experience that you get to experience with your kid. Like the first, your first Disney trip. That's a parent, a special parent thing.
It sounds like we're 2-2 on this.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble.
That's a huge memory changing experience.
If you didn't get to take Michael to Disney for the first time, though, if your parents did that, you wouldn't be upset?
Nope, because I know there'd be more times.
Yeah, but there's no time like the first.
I know.
They only went to Epcot, though. They didn't go to, like...
Yeah, it's not like you've seen the castle for the first time.
Right, but and she didn't even ask. Like, I'm sorry.
They're in Mexico.
I was going to say...
They left grandma in charge.
Mm-mm. She's not. She's in care. She's not in charge. She's taking care of them.
Grandma's in charge.
Oh, man.
My mom listens to this show. She'd say, oh, my gosh, I would totally ask you. There's no way I would ever, ever do anything like that. I would ask 100%.
If my mom's not certain on a snack, I'll get a text.
Yeah, I was going to say, my mom would ask if there was just a birthday party, like at a bowling alley. That's nothing special. She'd be like, is that okay?
Yeah.
And absolutely, it's okay. But like...
Did you know about this birthday party? No. Yeah, Mom, we didn't take her because we've never been to Disney World before. Oh, okay. I wouldn't dare versus I'll just do what I want with my grandchildren. No.
I didn't take it like that at all. I felt like she didn't want to let that little kid down because their parents were gone.
It's a birthday party. There's going to be other birthday parties.
Not at Epcot.
Yeah. How do you know? She's young. But now she's never going to have a first-time experience with her parents. Like, no way. That's entitlement.
I think the parents are entitled.
No way.
That's right. They left their kids.
Yeah, they're entitled to whose memories are made first.
They're entitled to go to Mexico and ask grandma to watch their kid?
Yeah, not anymore.
For a wedding, they weren't just going.
Yeah.
I think that we need to have some people text in on this one.
Oh, they went for a wedding?
Yeah, they were invited to a wedding. They weren't even...
Yeah, but they were gone for almost a whole week.
A week.
What kind of wedding goes for a week?
Who plans a birthday party and invites you on a Tuesday and expects you to go to Thursday on an Epcot?
Who plans a wedding in Mexico?
I've gone to a wedding in Mexico and my mom watched Lucy.
I've been to a wedding in Epcot.
Sorry, Mom. If you did this, you'd be out. You'd be in an old folks home. It'd be over.
Rumble!
Everybody to your corners.
We're 2-2 on this one. Yeah,
we're split, so you guys feel free to text in. This is a great one to text in on.
Oh, please do. Oh, wait, put this on the Facebook page, Vicky. Put it on the Facebook page and see
what see if anybody put. Responds. Yeah, I will.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good stuff. All right, let's get some more drama. A new governmental policy could make influencers illegal, including influencers at the Disney parks. With the rise of social media has come the rise of influencers and content creators spreading across hundreds of areas of interest, including Disney. Inside the Magic has covered dozens of stories over the last few years featuring influencers who have been spotted inside the Disney parks. Earlier this week, the U.S. House introduced legislation that could shut down access to TikTok on devices across the United States if it doesn't split ties with its parent companies, ByteDance, according to APN News. Now, I'm not going to read out all the legislational mumbo jumbo, but basically they just want to ban TikTok is the law. This is the short story of it. Because, you know, technically, you know, it's pretty harmful to young minds and the whole social media stuff. And they're trying to say that it could, I get how they're trying to orient this whole thing, that it could affect, you know, influencers in the parks. This has nothing to do with like YouTube and stuff like that. So we don't have to worry about like the trackers and Palo and people like that. But as far as TikTokers are concerned, it'll shut them down.
The gist of it is that TikTok isn't it a Chinese based company? Why they're trying to shut it down?
Yeah, and that it's toxic and all this stuff. And I'll be honest, I 100% agree with that. There's two versions of TikTok. If you see the version of TikTok that is in Europe, it is 1000% different than ours. It promotes STEM, sciences, engineering. What could you be? Live to your potential and, you know, praise the communist regime. Ours is like, hey, look at this stupid girl dancing. You could be something you are completely not. Filters, fakeness, you know, fake, fake, fake. And they want to just protect the minds of impressionable young children. I'm all about this. Get rid of TikTok. This isn't going to do nothing to our YouTubers and the people we enjoy watching, Mr. Morrow, all these amazingly wonderful, good people that are putting out positive things, where TikTok is garbage. And the TikTok trends, yeah, it'll hurt because our standards ain't so as will suffer, but...
Oh, they'll still be saying.
Oh, no, there's plenty. It'll, you know, it was just a little dent, but I'm sure it'll recover because another app will take over and people will light their hair on fire and do the Hades challenge at Disneyland. But yeah, TikTok, peace out.
It makes me sad, all the social media. I've had so many conversations with the kids lately.
It's brutal.
I told them, I said, you don't know how badly my heart hurts. We were watching Bob Marley video we were introducing Bob Marley because it was his birthday. And we talked about his short term life and everything. And in one of the videos, it was a party. And you guys, well, some of you weren't alive. Christy may have been, anyway, late 70s. The parties and how you got all dressed up to go to the party and you played pin the tail on the donkey and you might did a dance or a conga line. You did the pinata. It was a fun party and everybody was smiling and having a good time. Nobody was pouting. Nobody was watching television. None of that. And we had that conversation. And then they're like, is there going to, when I, cause I told them it's going to be a party and I want to talk about it afterwards about how different things are then and now. And they're like, is there going to be a clown? Cause there can't be a clown. And I said, you know what makes me so sad? When I was growing up, I watched, and Matt lives in Chicago. I don't know if there's still reruns of Bozo the Clown.
Oh yeah.
Corky the Clown came to my 8th birthday party and I remember it. And they're like, oh, must have been a scary birthday party. I said, no, I love Stephen King about a lot of things. That's who wrote it. But it had no business ruining that for children. I'm sorry. Plus, that movie's rated R. And really, in second grade, you should not be watching rated R movies.
Yeah. And John Wayne Gacy didn't help clones either.
Well, neither did Poltergeist. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But yeah, no, I grew up with, you know, Bozo, Wizzo and Cookie.
Yeah.
But I mean, some clowns are freaky. Depends how you, when they're covered in blood and ripping your limbs off, they're terrifying.
But I mean, why do we have to ruin everything? And then the one day I was just like, why can't you just play with your Barbies and your Matchbox cars? And so some of the kids were like, I still play with my Barbies. I play with my Matchbox cars. And I said, good. And do it all the way until you get to middle school and beyond if you wish to. Because I said, you guys are ruining your mind. You're rotting your brains. And it hurts my heart. And they said, why? And I said, because you're not even having a chance to be a child.
No, I saw a thing and it said that your average youth has more access in 1 week of pornography than all things in all of history. In 1 week, more access to visual nudity than all the kings in all of history combined. If that doesn't say your kids shouldn't have access to this stuff, then
I know.
Super anti-screen. My kids ain't getting phones so they can buy them themselves. Like, she can text dad for emergencies or something like that. But they have screens when we fly, but they're watching, you know, Bluey and stuff like that. You know, good stuff. Like, that's not negative. TikTok is, it's just, I'm sorry, but I think they're just trying to destroy the innocence of the youth to conform them to whatever they want them to be. It's, we could put our tinfoil hats on and go crazy in this one.
Yeah. So guests that are planning to travel to Orlando in the month of March, Kaylee Black, if you're listening, you need to be prepared for the number of people that are planning to be in Orlando. Disney said that we need to be prepared for 7.6 million people.
Yikes.
That are scheduled to arrive in Orlando area during spring break. This growth is actually a continuation of what we saw from 2023 when the passenger records were 57.7 million travelers. I will tell you, I was there last year. And I would have never dreamed it was that many people. Okay. Actually, I think it's 76 million people. Anyway, for those heading out to visit Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Disney's Hollywood Studios, or Disney's Animal Kingdom this month, expect crowds to be higher than usual as the spring break season officially gets underway. The press release outlines how the spring break season will look with a 44-day period stretching from Saturday, February 24th, all the way through Saturday, April 7th. Of course, I will be there in that last part. Per the information given, March 23rd looks to be the busiest with 197,697 passengers passing through the airport.
Yuck.
Ooh, March 23rd is when we leave.
Yeah, we hit the road the 22nd because we're going to drive down to Florida and then going on a cruise. And we've never done a spring break trip because we know better, but.
Yeah. Where are you guys going, Steph?
We're just doing Legoland. We're not going to Disney.
Oh, you did tell me that. Okay.
That's going to be awesome.
I can't wait to hear about that. What's your trip report?
The kids are obsessed with Legos right now, so we're excited.
Heck yeah.
Okay, so say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, say it ain't so. We've got meet and greets, you know, kind of my thing. And I absolutely love them. Well, you know that children also love them. And recently there have been some problems with children creating their own, per se, meet and greets. Well, this is a story about a little girl that recently caused a scene that sparked outrage online as she ran across a moving parade to grab Elsa from Disney's Frozen. A video posted on Instagram showed a little girl who was running to hug Elsa in the middle of a parade during the Nice Carnival in France, in which Minnie Mouse, Pluto, Snow White, Tinkerbell, and other Disney characters made an unlicensed appearance. While some fans thought it was precious that the little girl was so enthralled to meet her favorite princess, many were upset that the little girl could have been seriously injured from the parade float. Many comments wanted to know where the little girl's parents were, and that's my very first thought as well. Still other comments were about how these are the type of events that cause people to get banned from Disney. I don't necessarily think this is something that gets you banned from Disney, but like, come on, parents. Where are you? Where were you?
Yeah, they're probably in Starbucks.
Yeah, like what if that was a car, like yeah. A moving car? You gonna be there to jump in front of them, or they were probably like Snapchatting it, right? Like maybe TikToking it at that moment. Like, look at my kid. Yeah. Go on. Make your let's get some social media fame here.
They want to be Instagram famous,
right?
The look at me's.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not cute. Please don't have your kid do that.
Well, the thing is, I think it's crazy how many of these we're hearing now.
Oh, it's nonstop. I'm sure we could just do nonstop saying so episodes.
We used to do shows like a conglomeration for the whole year. But if we waited that long, we would have a 2 or 3 hour show.
I'm sure it'd be longer than that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Ugh. And I don't even do all of them because I told Brad, Kaylee gave me one and I was like, no, I'm not giving that woman any more fame than she already received from this article. We've gone off the deep end.
In a new filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the Walt Disney Company has broken down how they will use their planned $60 billion investment in the Disney Experiences segment over the next 10 years. $60 billion is almost double what Disney spent on parks and Disney Cruise Line in the past 10 years, which included expansions like Pandora, The World of Avatar, Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land, Avengers Campus, and the Disney Wish cruise ship. In that filing, Disney listed these strategies for turbocharging Disney experiences: accelerate storytelling, expand footprint, advance commercial, leverage talent, and reach new fans. More recently, CEO Bob Iger announced 70% of the investment would go toward increasing capacity. A circular graph of the 10-year investment plan states 20% would go to Disney Cruise Line, and the other 30% would go to technology and maintenance, while 50% would go to parks and resorts. A separate note reiterates approximately 70% is for capacity expanding investments. This plan supports investments to create magical new experiences and refresh existing infrastructure.
Well, I hope that when they say that it goes to increasing capacity, they mean like expanding the park to include other lands and whatnot, because just increasing capacity, like, sorry, we're already capped out. That's too much.
All their verbiage is so vague. I honestly don't believe this.
I don't either.
I don't believe they're going to dump $60 billion. I think this is kind of like blowing smoke because of what Universal's is doing.
Maybe so.
That Epic Universe looks amazing. And the pace they're pumping that stuff out, I think it's embarrassing them because it's like, look what we can do.
Right. And how fast we can do it.
6 years for Tron. They're going to have an entire new universe done in under 4.
Right.
I don't really believe that they're going to. I wish they would.
I hope they'll put their money where their mouth is. Take this $60 billion and build me a fifth gate in Florida.
Yep, we want that dark castle.
Just do something. I mean, we've got the rooms. Well, I don't know, the infrastructure as far as transportation would need some work if they're going to build a fifth gate.
Band of Skyliner.
Oh, exactly. The Skyliner is, I mean, people poo-pooed it at first, but it's proven to be a hit.
Mm-hmm. I want to take the Skyliner to the Magic Kingdom. That would be awesome.
I want the Skyliner to go everywhere.
Yes, yes. All right. So Disney Parks first began hosting nuptials in late 1991 and early 1992. Disney Fairy Tale Weddings and Honeymoon Divisions was incepted. October 28th, 1992, Disney has hosted 200 weddings. Clearly, Disney has begun providing a service that was in great demand. Between 91 and 2017, Disney hosted more than 30,000 weddings. 1/300 of those took place in 2013 alone. Then in 2016, Disney Parks held 4,000 wedding ceremonies. But of all the weddings that took place on Disney property, the majority are held at Disney World, at Walt Disney World Resort in Central Florida. In 1995, Disney World debuted its own Victoria Wedding Chapel, universally referred to as Disney's Wedding Pavilion. But now a new addition at Disney's nearby Polynesian Village Resort threatens to turn the lure of a fairy tale wedding into a nightmare of sorts for unsuspecting couples eager to exchange their vows. The only problem is that the construction of the new DVC villas and tower at the Poly Resort have dwarfed Disney's Wedding Pavilion, which is located near on site. It's also creating quite the eyesore for guests who've dreamed of years of having their wedding at the quaint Disney Chapel. One user took to X, formerly Twitter, to bid farewell to the pavilion, saying, RIP, Grand Floridian Wedding Pavilion. While Disney has no announcements of any proposed plans of changing of the wedding pavilion, it's clear that the new construction could have a definite effect on couples' decisions when choosing a Disney venue to get married. What do we think? I think you should save your money and get married on a steam train like I did. We had my brother-in-law got officiated and married us on a steam train, and it cost us nothing. And it was amazing.
Awesome.
Their weddings are insane. That's what we wanted to do. But I think it was like $6,000 for 4 guests for just that little chapel.
Oh my gosh.
And you still have to pay for your trip. To do like the basic one in front of the Magic Kingdom, at it's like super, super early in the morning, like 4 in the morning, I think. I think it's like $27,000 and you get 6 people or something like that. Like, whoo, doggy, save your money. Go around, travel around the world and then have someone marry on a steam train.
For sure.
Good idea.
Yes.
Well, thank you, listeners. We greatly appreciate you hanging out with us each week. And I want to give a big shout out to Erin Hodges. She is listening to us again, and she impulsively planned a trip to Disney World this week at the last minute, is what I'm reading. And so I told her that we would love to do a trip report with her because it sounded really exciting. So Erin, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you writing into us. I also did what Stephanie asked why we were finishing up the show. I went on to the Mousecapades thing, reminding you guys after you listen to the show to please either side with M and S or C and V. That would be Matt and Stephanie versus Chrissy and Vicky. We'll see what you guys have to say.
Boo, Grandma.
Team Grandma.
I was going to say, we can't boo the grandmas.
Yeah, we can. Especially that one.
He took away a magical moment.
A lifetime memory that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Rumble!
Hey,
Anyway, if you're interested in being a guest on our show or you have a question or comment, you could text us at 636-373-4497. You can check us out on our social media account, The Mousecapades Podcast on Facebook.
Be sure to listen to Friday's show because it's going to be pretty awesome. I don't know what we're going to discuss on Friday's show, but it is always fun and exciting. But as always, if you would like a free quote, contact Vicki, Stephanie, Matt, or myself, Chrissy, at 636-373-4497.
As always, thanks for listening to the number one podcast that entertains the space between your ears, The Mousecapades and More Podcast.
Well, everybody, I think it's about that time. Disney love.
Dibbity bobbity boo.
Hurry back.
Have a magical day, my friends.
So here is a riddle to guess if you can. Sing the bells of Notre Dame. What makes a monster and what makes a man?
Sing the bells,
man. Whatever that pitch you and bewitch you, the rich and the ritual bell.